sighs for help. When I looked at this passage this week and I got to thinking about what to do, sometimes it's one of those things that just kind of comes to you. Sermons are kind of like that. When I read the readings for each week, I try to read them on Monday for the week, all of them, and sometimes they speak to you right off the bat and sometimes they don't. Sometimes one of them just pops out and then sometimes they just kind of hang there. And then once in a while you're like, okay, Lord, I really and truly do not want to preach this. But then he'll say, you know, this is what you need to do. But today, from this lesson, sighs for help. A little over 10 years ago, up in the morning, I was traveling to Clinton on Highway 421 South. I had been in kind of a whirlwind for about 6 weeks, traveling back and forth to Wake Med in Raleigh, checking on my dad and mom. My dad was a patient at Wake Med, and he was very sick. Making sure that Mama had what she needed. She had been by his side all those weeks. I, like my sisters, had been working and traveling back and forth as much as possible. But on this particular Monday morning, I had gone to the doctor because I was sick. And it was discovered that I had food poisoning. And after leaving the doctor and going a few more errands there around Clinton that day, I was going back by Mama's and check on her. You see, this particular day, as I traveled around, I don't remember forming any words as I drove. But I remember sighing a lot. I don't remember that I was intentionally praying, but I do remember sensing that I was crying out to God in my heart. Several minutes passed as I was sighing and thinking, and all of a sudden, these words came to me. My grace is sufficient unto this day. And how many times have I said that to somebody that says, God says, my grace is sufficient for all your needs. My grace, God said, is sufficient unto this day. It was the answer to a prayer that I didn't even know that I had prayed. I didn't even know that I had offered, but I desperately needed it. I pulled over in the parking lot at the post office in Clinton. And I was assured that God was present with me in that very moment. I cried tears of release and relief as I let go of my dad that day. I did not know the future. I could not know what it was. But I could trust that God would give me what I needed at the exact time that I needed it. It was a promise that I carried with me in the days, the weeks, the months, and even the years that have followed. It was an assurance that I held on to through my dad's illness and following his death, which took place later that night, right after midnight. It's a promise that I still hold on to today, a promise that carries me through each and every day of my life, that my grace is sufficient for all your needs. You see, in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, it is perhaps my favorite chapter in all of Scripture. It offers words of comfort and reassurance to those of us who carry heavy burdens. At times, we are all too aware of the brokenness of our world. We know that our lives are marred by sin, and we experience suffering in our daily lives. We experience physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual illness and loss. It happens each and every day. We endure the pain of broken relationships. We come across stories of violence, of economic need, of hopelessness. And as we look around us, it is easy to become discouraged, overwhelmed, and uncertain of the future. I believe that Paul addressed these words to people like you and me, like us. They bear witness to the compassionate heart of a pastor trying to encourage a community in the midst of some of the most devastating trials that life has to offer. Paul was trying to preach and teach to a group of people, just like so many afterwards have read these words and tried to preach and teach compassion to a group of people, to try to encourage that community in the midst of some of the most devastating trials that life has to offer. Not only in Paul's time, but in today's time. Our world is so full of stuff, and people wonder why and how. In the verse previous to today's text, Paul has spoken of the suffering that not only we, but also all creation experiences. He writes in 8:22, "The whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now." They're hurting. Suffering is a reality that we live in and we live with each and every day, evident not only in our human struggles but also throughout the created order. We see it. Although as people of faith, we know that God's glory will one day be revealed to us, we find ourselves crying sometimes, "How long, O Lord, will it be?" Sometimes as on that dark Monday morning of my life, the suffering becomes too much. There are moments in life when we are literally rendered speechless. How do we begin to express the depth of our sorrow as we realize how deep the need for God's help is? How do we find the words to cry out for our redemption? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we can't. Those are the places where God's grace breaks into our lives most powerfully. When we are not able to speak for ourselves, when we're just not able to, God breaks through in our lives most powerful. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. "For we do not know how to pray as we ought to," He says in verse 26. "But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." Our Lord intercedes in the Spirit for us, too deep for words. Sometimes words aren't good enough. Words can't describe. Words can't explain. Words will not help. Sometimes just being there is all you need. What a wonderful gift that God has given to us, that even when our words fail us, that God's Spirit is present in ways beyond our human understanding. As N.T. Wright so insightfully observes, "Those who cannot see that for which they eagerly hope need assistance to peer into the darkness ahead and to pray God's future into the present." In other words, to know what is going to happen and pray it right now. God does that for us each and every day. The wonder and the grace of prayer is that many times we can't offer a prayer in our own strength. We have to have God's help. We can say the words, but if they're not truly from God, they're just empty. Prayer, as the early church mothers and fathers taught us, is often a heart-rendering struggle. It is something we have to think about. Yet it is in these moments that we can receive what is most needed for the journey. We offer that assurance of God's love and grace in a more powerful way because all the words, the human certainty, and the illusion of control are stripped away. You know, we have to let go of us. We have to let go of our control. And for some people, that is the hardest thing. And for me, it is the hardest thing also. We receive what we need the most because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit of God intercedes for us and reminds us of the great love of God, our Creator. Our lives, the lives of those that we love, the life of the world may still be broken, but our concerns are brought into the presence of God, and we are reminded that God works for our good in all things. Paul knew the power of the gifts received through God's Spirit. He knew them because he had experienced them. He knew them because he had experienced them. And when the words returned, sheer doxology. And from the words of verses 37, 38, and 39, he says, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Let us pray.